Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this Cabinet Committee on the 19th of September 2019. I'll start off by saying that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulation 2012, other people may film, record, tweet, or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So first off, this evening, item one, apologies. We have apologies from Councillor Harper-Davis. I don't believe we have any other apologies. So item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. I have one in particular under item seven, one of the grants is related to a community interest company that my wife is a director of, so I will be leaving the room during item seven. However, are there any other items that anyone wishes to declare as a personal interest or pecuniary interest?
The same, Chair. Item seven, Charnwood Grants. It's only that I am on the Task and Finish Project Board for the generator project in town, so it's definitely not pecuniary. I'm not predetermined anyway.
Okay. I'm looking across to Adrian Ward. Are you happy with that?
In that situation, Leader, it's what the councillor's view of the average person in the street would be in the situation, and whether they feel you. Although councillor may feel they have an open mind, it's whether the average person in the street would consider that they had an open mind.
So would you like me to leave the room?
You can keep me company outside if you wish. Okay. But it'd always be safe, I think, rather than anything else, which I think is the correct way of doing it. Any other any declarations that anyone wishes to make? No? Okay. On to item three, leaders' announcements. I guess I have no formal announcements about the council or cabinet activities, but obviously it would be remiss of me not to thank on behalf of cabinet our departing and retiring chief executive, Jeff Parker, who's sitting beside me, for many, many, many years of service, wise words, advice, extreme patience, I think, is probably something that I think you have bucket loads of. But thank you on behalf of all Cabinet members, and I know Council have already paid their thanks, but certainly on behalf of Cabinet in particular, thank you very much, Jeff, for everything. We wish you well and all the best for an extraordinarily happy and productive retirement. Thank you. So moving on to item four, which the minutes of the previous meeting, those were held on the 4th of July 2019. Is everyone happy with the content and the accuracy of those meetings? If so, I propose that we accept them. Second? Okay, everyone's in favour. Great, thank you very much. Item five, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7, there are no questions submitted. So we're now on to item six, which is the Communal Area Cleaning Scheme for Council Accommodation. Just before I invite Peter Oliver to come down to the table, the one thing, the slight change that I'd like to make for our running order at this Cabinet and also possibly, hopefully, future Cabinets, is that I'd like to take all papers as read. I know everyone around this table reads everything thoroughly before meetings, but I think for all councillors across the council, it's important that they follow that as a process. So I would like us to take all papers as read. So what we'll do, rather than actually having introductions or presentations from officers, if that's okay, we will go straight into questions and clarifications. So with that, if I can invite Peter Oliver, who's our Head of Landlord Services, to the table. Councillor Mercer, I'm going to ask you to start with any questions or points of clarification that you wish to raise, and then I will pass it over to the rest of Cabinet for asking any further questions or points of clarification.
Thank you, Leader. Could I just add to what's not actually in the report the fact that it has been totally and enthusiastically endorsed by HMAB when it went before it, and also the Labour spokesperson on housing, Councillor Draycott, wanted it to be known that she totally supports this and believes that it will be a very beneficial improvement to our services. And she, I think, speaking as representative of part of Loughborough, which has some of the worst problems, can speak with a degree of authority on that one.
Thank you very much. Are there any points of clarification or questions that anyone wishes to ask? Peter. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you very much, Leader. Could I ask a couple of questions, please? Firstly, about risk. What risk has this contract got for this council, and have we evaluated that? Thank you.
Certainly. So there's always an element of risk when engaging a new contractor. There's the risk of underperformance. We already have an officer that goes around all of our communal areas on a monthly basis. So what we're going to do is arrange for that officer to go just after the cleaning has been completed so that they can report back to us and tell us whether there's any issues with the cleaning. Alongside that, we're also currently advertising for tenant inspectors as well. So those inspectors will also be able to feed back to us to tell us whether or not the cleaning meets the specification. Finally, it's expected that we'll have some performance indicators that will be included in the contract along with an appropriate break clause. So they're the issues in respect of performance management. The other risk, of course, in the context, is that the service charge isn't paid, leading to increased arrears and costs associated with recovery. The new service is going to be publicised in the Tenants Magazine. As part of the statutory process, we have to write to everybody as well. We will offer them support, and we will also highlight that the charge is fully eligible for housing benefit and also fit, and that or universal credit, and that help and advice is available. And of course, if people fail to pay it, then existing income recovery processes will be instigated. Of course, everything's still subject to contract as well. So therefore, there's potentially a little bit of price risk. Potentially, we might have a price increase linked to CPI, but the effect of that would actually be quite low. So we're probably looking at about 2 or 3 pence on the service charge each week.
Thank you very much indeed. Can I ask a couple more questions? First of all, in not all blocks by any means, but the Marios Tenenti Centre, for example, was very good at trying to organise stair fairies. So perhaps the stair fairies could become the tenant inspectors, you never know. But let's look at urgent cases, if that's okay. At the moment, we have a situation where you can go out and if there's an urgent issue, for example, human waste or something like that in a block, somebody would go out and deal with it urgently. Would that still be the case? Thank you.
Yes, and I went to the MTC last week, just dropped by to talk to the residents there, and I told them about the communal cleaning scheme as well. And in respect of urgent arrangements, yes, we've already got a contract in place, and that contract will continue to respond to those kinds of emergencies. That service is also in place for out-of-hours as well.
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Leader. Just a quick question about leaseholders, not the tenants. If leaseholders are not paying the charge, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to recover it? And if they don't pay, how are we going to cover those costs?
Leaseholders are also subject to recovery processes as well. We have a dedicated leasehold officer that administers some of that, and it's also supported through our income recovery team.
Councillor Smidovich.
I just wanted to say it's nice to see the corporate plan referred to with an example of evidence. I'm thinking of what was on page 12, keeping our residents safe and an attractive place to live in, and the listening and communicating. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other further questions or points of clarification? Okay, I think that's everyone. So in which case, I'm going to go to Councillor Mercer now to make a proposal.
I would like to propose that the introduction of a communal area cleaning service to tenants and leaseholders living in council accommodation served by communal entrances, stairways, landings and internal bins is approved. that tenants and leaseholders receiving the service pay for it through a service charge levied weekly in addition to their existing gross rent, that the administration of the service is not passed on to tenants and leaseholders but absorbed as part of the council's normal housing management service met through the existing housing revenue account budgets, that the frequency of cleaning is to be carried out is according to the outcome of the consultation exercise undertaken with tenants and leaseholders and officers' recommendations, and that tenants and leaseholders receiving the service will be charged according to the frequency decided, and finally that there will be a one-off clean carried out initially, the cost of which will not be charged to those receiving the service but met through existing HRI budgets for the reasons given in this report.
Councillor Hunt, can I ask you to second?
Yes, please I second this report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Peter, as well. At this point, I'm going to leave the room along with Councillor Boker. So I'm going to pass over the chair to Councillor Barclay, and hopefully he'll let me know when the item's finished.
Right, so, councillors, if you've read the report, you can see the projects that we're supporting. Has any councillor got any questions they'd like to ask? No questions? All right, none at all. Well, this is a nice night for you then, Julie, so you've obviously done a good job. All right, Councillor Rawlings.
My question is actually on ones that we've not supported, and forgive me if I've missed the detail, but I'm just wondering why, for example, the Sea Cadets haven't been awarded anything but another residents' association has, on the basis that it's not inclusive of all of the community, because any of these groups, you could say, or a number of them, are just for members of that group rather than the wider community, but anyone, I suppose, could join. So I'm just wanting some clarity on that, please.
Thank you. That's because they're under different grant schemes. So the Sea Cadet scheme have applied under the Community Facilities scheme. So the criteria is that the facility that we fund has to be available for wider community use. And whereas the other groups we accept are community groups in their own right, and as long as they're open to the wider community to come and join and take part, then as reasonable as possible, then they're eligible to apply. But community facilities have to have wider community use.
Councillor Pollan.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Just to clarify, my understanding is in the report, but regarding, again, the one that wasn't approved, cited and banned, is it the case that you're basically saying, you're not saying no to them, you're saying come back in conjunction with the Town Council who actually own the building and we'll take another look? So it's just been the case that, in effect, not they haven't done it the right way rather than it being not something we'd want to support.
That's correct. We've been back to the organisation, and the way that they'd filled their application in, they'd filled it in from a completely banned perspective. And I had had a parallel conversation with the Town Council who'd said they were working, so I knew with the jigsaw piece, it just didn't come in that way. So we've clarified the situation and looked at the application, and we think it could be for a more robust application, and therefore we need to work with them to come back with a more robust and potentially for more money to cover the whole gambit.
Hey, so, has anybody else got any other questions? I mean, I take your point on the Syston Band application. I read that, and they applied for 100% of the money where they can only have 32%, and it's fairly obvious the thing needs demolishing, so there's not too much of a plan, but they will come back. I'm sure they will. All right, so there are no other questions, and everybody's happy with this, so could I ask Debbie to propose?
Thank you, Deputy Leader. I'd like to propose the recommendations 1 to 5 for the reasons 1 to 5 shown on page 27 and page 28.
Okay.
I will second that.
Thank you. In favour?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody against? So that's unanimous. Now, I'll just go and get the lead in. Oh, right. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much. We're now on to item 8, which is the business rates write-off. Councillor Barclay, this is your item. If there are any points that you wish to raise, otherwise we'll go straight into asking questions of clarification.
I think finally Jeff has taught me that when I speak, I've got to press the button. So, could you? I'll, well worth it. Yeah. No, I mean, these are. If you look at them, they're businesses which have essentially failed. A couple of them have gone into liquidation. We have made best efforts to recover. The only question I'd have is there was one of them that changed. Re-emerged as a limited company, and we a different limited company. We've written it off, but would it have been reasonable to have had some warning bells with that item?
Simon Jackson.
I think we always try and identify issues with companies up front, so we try and speak to them, arrange payment plans if appropriate, and take suitable enforcement action. But inevitably, we are always behind the curve. There is inevitably 1 or 2 months passes before we're able to even start to get involved. And I think in this particular case, it happened in fairly short order, and we were unable to engage with the initial company. But ultimately, with business rates, we don't have any choice about whether to accept or accept tenants or review their credit worthiness. We just have to react to the situation, I'm afraid.
The only other thing I'd say is we do have provision for this in the accounts, and although the figures look fairly large, the actual amount that we are involved in, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's about 20%, is it? And the remainder goes to the other major preceptors, being the County Council, Police and Fire Authorities. Mm-hmm. But this isn't going to impact on our... Am I right in thinking it's not going to impact on our budget this year?
That's absolutely correct. We maintain very significant provisions around the marginal rate of benefit to Charnwood from business rates is usually 20%. The calculations are complex, but that's usually the amount. And actually, over half of the business rates under the usual rules do in fact go to the government. So it's actually the central government who are the principal loser from these situations.
Councillor Mercer.
Thank you. Leading on from the point that Councillor Barclay made, I've looked at some of these companies before, and some of the directors of these companies have a very long record of setting up companies which have been dissolved or been forced to be dissolved. Given that that information is publicly available, would it not be a good idea when we publish these reports to actually publish the names of the directors of these companies? To perhaps serve as a deterrent and a warning to other people who may go into business with them, because I'm sure when some of these companies, not necessarily these, but some of these companies have collapsed, they've been owing a lot of other people a lot of money. And given that we are perfectly entitled to do that, it's open information, it may help warn other people off falling into the trap that we inadvertently have fallen into with these companies.
Yes, there's no reason why we couldn't publish the names of directors of companies. We could add that to reports. I mean, generally, it is well known that some directors are associated with serially failing companies. It's difficult to get at them due to the veil of incorporation, in particular egregious circumstances the insolvency practitioners themselves might attempt to take action against such directors. But certainly, if it's, you know, we can certainly publish the names of the directors of failed companies if that's a request. There's no reason why we shouldn't do that.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other further questions before we go to Councillor Barclay for a proposal? Okay, Councillor Barclay.
I propose that we write off these business debts. I recommend that the three debts are written off for the reasons as given on page 61 of the report.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Poland to second?
Thank you very much, Leader. I second that proposal.
Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to item 9, which is additions to the annual procurement plan. Can I invite David Hawkins, who's our procurement manager, to the table? Can I start by asking Councillor Barclay if there are any questions or points of clarification that he wishes to raise before I open it for general discussion?
This report just updates Cabinet on where we're going. We have a procurement plan put forward every year. These are the quarterly updates from the various departments. The contracts that we are letting out are there. It seems fairly straightforward to me. We're using our contract procedure rules. There is nothing within the report that I want to question, so it's over to other councillors.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or points of clarification that anyone wishes to raise? I can't see any. Thank you very much. In that case, can I ask Councillor Barclay to make a proposal?
I make the recommendations as outlined on page 65, recommendations 1 and 2, for the reasons 1 and 2, to allow contracts of the Council to be let in accordance with the contract procedure rules.
And can I ask Councillor Smitherich to second?
Yes, I'm happy to second that.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, as well, for a few words. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to item 10, which is the Capital Plan Amendment Report. We have Simon Jackson, who's our Corporate Director, who's going to be handling this one for any questions. Can I start by asking Councillor Barclay whether he has any points of clarification or questions that he wishes to open with?
We've managed to segregate out those that are directly under our control and those that aren't under our control, things we have direct influence under in the capital plan, which I'm pleased to see. There's nothing within the capital plan that comes as a great surprise. I think we need to try and be more accurate. As we know last year we got it wrong. I think there are efforts to make it more accurate, and I would just ask for reassurance that we will monitor projects that we are capable of monitoring and make sure that we get a bit closer than we did last year.
Yes, I think we're all aware of the history. Absolutely agree with that. Coming this year, it's the biannual, if that's the correct word, or the every 2 years refresh of the three-year capital plan. I think within that capital plan, we will seek to present the capital plan in a different way, actually reflecting the segregation between projects that are in our gift and things that are delivered more indirectly to both reflect the reality of the situation and help us with monitoring and presentation going forward.
Thank you very much. Are there any other points of clarification or any questions that anyone wishes to ask? Before I pass over to Councillor Barker, can I just say how pleased I am to see the allocation in our capital plan for the tree planting programme. Looking forward to seeing those coming out of the ground. Pass over to Councillor Barker. Yeah.
So I propose, I make the recommendations 1 to 5 on page 72 for the reasons 1 to 5 on page 72.
Thank you very much, Councillor Barker. Can I ask Councillor Rawlings to second?
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to second this.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now on to item 11, which is the Shared Internal Audit Service. Can I invite Councillor Ratway? Where are you? There you go. If you would like to come to the table, thank you very much. You're hiding behind Councillor Mercer, which I know is very difficult. Scrutiny Commission have produced a scrutiny paper on this. I'm going to ask you if you would like to summarise any of the comments from scrutiny, and then what we'll do is actually ask you any points of clarification on any of the comments that scrutiny had. Then we'll pass on to any general questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Scrutiny Commission were happy to recommend this report. The Commission was satisfied that the shared internal service between the three authorities increased resilience, improved service delivery and potentially generates future cost savings. The main concerns were over the current backlog of work within audit, and the Commission were assured that this would be dealt with prior to the commencement of the shared service and that the shared service would only be set up once fully staffed. Knowing that there had already been a shared service between Blaby and North West Leicestershire for 3 years suggests that they have had time to work through the initial teething problems, which should mean a smoother transition for Charnwood. All members of the Commission were in agreement regarding the recommendation. If anyone's got any further questions about the meeting and what happened, I'm happy to answer.
We love button pushing in this meeting. Keeps us exercised. So thank you very much for that presentation. And by all means, stay seated because our officer is Adrian Ward, who's our strategic head of strategic support, will be answering any questions that anyone wishes to raise. Councillor Barclay.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. What's going to happen to our existing auditor, and will this? How much money will this new arrangement save? That's the question you expect me to ask.
through you, Leader, the proposal is that our remaining internal audit member of staff would 2p across to North West Leicestershire as the lead authority for the shared service. Her existing terms and conditions would transfer with her, so there would be no detriment to her. In terms of savings, the driver behind this was not to save money. The proposals, as they are set out in the report, would be approximately £11,500 cheaper than if we had our own staffed, fully staffed internal audit team. But because of the potential for bedding in problems and that sort of thing, we're proposing to keep that money in the budget for the time being and see what happens, really. And potentially it may be a future saving, but we're not proposing to take it as a saving at this point in time.
Any other questions? Councillor Poland, do you have any points of clarification that you wish to tease out before we...
not really. That's beyond what's in the report. I thought we had a good discussion at Scrutiny on Monday. It was a really useful conversation. Most of what I was going to say is in the report, leaders. So do you want me to propose that now or...?
No other questions? Or Councillor Smidovich, yeah.
Thank you, Leader. It's possibly something I should know, but I don't. On page, well, it says 21 of 25, but it's page 108 on our sheet. Under the Town Hall Chambers, it talks about a full tenant repairing lease based on... Have I pushed down too far?
Yeah,
sorry. I'm sorry, I've pushed down just that little bit too far then.
Okay. In which case...
Yes, okay, fine. Ignore that question.
Push your button. We'll rewind the tape. Yes. Councillor Poland, would you like to make a recommendation?
I would, Leader. Thank you. Can I propose recommendations 1 and 2 on page 83 for reasons 1 and 2, also on page 83?
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Barclay to second?
Yep, I second that proposal.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, over to item 12. This might be an item. Thank you very much, Councillor Rathway, as well. Item 12, possibly Councillor Smidovich, you may have been looking at before, so you can save your question maybe for this one. So we're now on to item 12, which is investment strategy. So Simon Jackson, as Strategic Director for Corporate Services, will be answering any questions relevant that anyone wishes to ask. I'm going to start off by asking Councillor Barclay if there are any questions or points of clarification that you wish to tease out.
Yeah, again, I think this is a fairly comprehensive report which shows how we've progressed over the last couple of years. Clearly, when we come to the next item, the medium-term financial strategy, there are challenges ahead. We've taken the opportunity for commercialisation. There are items within this report which clearly show the risks and rewards. And as always in life, as in life generally, you're not going to get very far if you don't take any risks. But being risk-aware rather than risk-averse. I would just, my question would be, I would prefer to see that any property investments are normally within the borough. I wouldn't like to limit us just to within the borough. Now, I am well aware that we discussed it and that... but I think it just the option, given that this is going through Cabinet and then going to full council, I would like to... I think it would be prudent just to have normally within the borough rather than exclusively within the borough. Just your comments on that.
I think it's, to be honest, a question of taste and a question of member preference. I've certainly got no objections to that from a Section 151 officer point of view.
That's fine. Thank you.
OK, I think that's good. We'll probably have that as a proposal as far as the recommendation is concerned, but we'll include that when we come to that. Any other points of information or anything that anyone wishes to tease out? Councillor Mercer, you're looking pensive.
Can I just ask, on the ARC Business Centre, if all of the units are occupied, where are we going wrong?
That's a piece of work that we need to do. So I think there's two possibilities, which are fairly obvious, really. One is that the rents are insufficient or set too low, or our costs are too high, or a combination of the two. So we need to do some work, certainly, to uncover the reasons for that. I think the rents and the costs or the arrangements for that building go back some period of time. It was actually originally a joint venture with the County Council, so things originated there. But addressing them may require a little bit of unpicking with the agreement of the county, but absolutely it's something we need to address and we will address over the next few weeks.
Thank you very much. Councillor Smitherish and then Councillor Hunt.
I think this one does come under the right section now. It's just the point, full tenant repairing lease. And I didn't quite understand what that meant.
It's, what that means is the tenant is responsible for all repairs of the property. So from a council point of view, all we have to do is collect the rent every month. And we don't have to have the responsibility for repairing the boilers or electrical repairs as and when required. That's all the responsibility of the tenant.
Councillor Hunt.
Thank you. I was just wondering if this has a window of opportunity on it that's a better advantage than normal times. From what I can see on page, it's actually peppered throughout the report, but in page 92 is where it talks about it most, where we've got local authorities who are... take loans from us at a rate of 6%, and yet you can get 3% from Public Works Loans Board. Is that because, I know Public Works, I can't say that, PWLB, because the PWLB is lower than usually banks, is it particularly low now and might go up again in a few months' time? Is this a window of opportunity we need to take advantage of now?
I guess the answer is potentially. I think historically, and I would expect in future, the PWLB rates would be lower than those that would be commercially available to companies. So I would always expect a differential between PWLB and commercially available rates. I think just today I was reading that there's no expectation, or the expectation of interest rate increases has been pushed further into the future. But if interest rates were to go up, I would expect the differential to remain reasonably similar going forward. So there is an opportunity now, but I wouldn't expect that opportunity to close off in the foreseeable future.
Thank you very much. Councillor Rawlings.
Thank you. Just in terms of the commercial side of this and investment in property and things, who within the authority is going to be dealing on a day-to-day basis with opportunities that arise? Have we got capacity within the authority at the moment to deal with these opportunities as and when they arise and get them through quickly enough? I know we're going to rely on some external advice, but in terms of the day-to-day management, because if we go for this in a proactive way, as we're thinking of doing, we're going to need some proper staffing to be able to cope with it.
There is a... I think that's a very good question. There is some capacity within the authority at the moment, but it is... and some skills, but inevitably it is reasonably limited. My expectation is, as subject to approval of Cabinet and then subsequently Council, that our first action will be to engage with the surveyors and property agents in the borough or potentially wider, based on Councillor Barclay's comments, to identify properties for us. And the bulk of the work that I would see being undertaken initially in terms of the identification of suitably investment-grade properties would be done externally, which would result in us incurring professional fees. But if this activity were to increase significantly, depending on the Council's taste for this sort of activity, as potentially we might increase or want to increase our property portfolio, then yes, I would agree that we would have to look at our staffing structure and capacity and skills generally available to the Council.
Okay, thank you very much. I only have one additional point, really, which is to draw everyone's attention on Cabinet to paragraph 40 and also to 42, which set out the investment criteria for commercial property, but also for the Housing Development Company. And I think those are probably within the paper two key areas that we need to consider as being sort of the core changes that we're considering within this paper. The paragraph 40, for instance, the investment in commercial property highlights the comment that Councillor Barclay just made, which I think probably means amending or proposing the change to all property acquisitions will be located within the borough to normally located within the borough to give us a little bit more flexibility. But otherwise, hopefully everyone's actually seen those two paragraphs as being the core of the investment strategy. If there are no other points anyone wishes to raise, then I'm going to pass over to Councillor Barclay. Thank you.
Okay, so with that amendment, which is in paragraph 40, within the box, the sentence reads, all property acquisitions will be located within the borough, and that's about the 12th line down, and now we're amending that all property acquisitions will normally be located within the borough. And with that amendment...
I think the amendment is absolutely fine, but the recommendation of the Cabinet report refers to Appendix B, which is actually a direct copy of that wording. So if the amendment could be that wording, but reflecting Appendix B, which is referenced in the recommendation of the Cabinet report, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, so if you can do that, and then...
If we can do that... for the reasons, and just bear with me. I can't press a button and work my screen at the same time. It's multitasking. So it's I make the recommendations on page 88 that this is recommended to Council that the provisions set out at Appendix B of this report are adopted and incorporated into the extant capital strategy to provide additional clarity to the extant capital strategy and to enable the Council to increase the range of its investment activity.
Thank you very much. If everyone's clear about that, then can I ask Councillor Boker to second?
Yes, I'm very happy to second that, Leader.
Thank you very much. All of those in favour? Sorry. Simon.
Just to clarify, it's Appendix B as modified by that amendment to reference the investment properties as we've described.
I'm looking at Laura and she's nodding her head frantically, so I think she understands precisely the wording. So that's we rely on you, Laura, to get this right. Thank you. In 40 years from now, people will be reading your minutes. So, Councillor Boker, sorry, you are happy to second, so in which case, can I see all of those in favour? Right, there we go. Fine, thank you very much. Okay, we'll now move on to item 13, which is the final item this evening, which is the draft MTFS for 2020-2023. So, again, Simon Jackson, who's our Director of Corporate Services, standing in to answer any questions. Councillor Barclay, can I ask if you can open the questioning or make any points of clarification?
That It takes account of all the risks that we face, and with the great uncertainties we do, it looks as though over the period of the capital plan, over this medium-term financial strategy, we're going to be using a substantial amount of our reserves, over £2 million worth, and actually leave our working balances at about £3 million. One question I do have, and I would ask that we look at it again, the new homes bonus, I know we've struggled with this in the past, but the figures don't seem to, and I know we're working from October to October, but even with that in mind, the figures of the estimated completions compared to what we are projecting going forward seem to be, even taking into account the 0.4% weighting, they seem to be quite significantly different. And it could potentially make a substantial difference to our medium-term financial strategy. So I would ask that we do look at that, because we did have a problem last year, and I just would like to be absolutely clear that we're working with the planners. I mean, they're estimating 1,423 houses completed in 2020-21, and the figures that we are using are substantially, some of them are almost half of what is being projected. So would it be possible? My main question is, could we look at that again with the planners and make sure that we are not underestimating the completions? I fully appreciate that it drops off by almost a half between 2021 and 2022-23, but this is planning speak insofar as they are actually factually what we know at the moment or what we estimate. But I mean, that is significant. I'm also aware of the fact that the payment of the new homes bonus becomes very uncertain after 2021-22. There are savings within the medium-term financial strategy which are projected on a one-off basis, £300,000 across the the base, and also we've allowed within the pressures £100,000 of that to be knocked off. I really do think we need to look carefully at it to make sure. I know we're producing the budget out of this, and I know there are many uncertainties, but I don't want to be silly. We have got to make savings, without a doubt, but I think we need to have a look at that. Would you be prepared to do that?
Yeah, there's maybe a couple of points there, Councillor Barclay, to talk about. So firstly, if I talk about the new homes bonus, so maybe apologies, this isn't maybe as clear as it could have been within the report. So the new homes bonus projections that we've put in, which are included in this report, are based on the number of houses that are coming onto our council tax register. So what we've done in preparing these projections in terms of the number of housing, and this ignores what the government might do in terms of the rules, which we have no control over, but we've looked at the number of houses coming onto the council tax register in the period September to June, and the new homes bonus is actually calculated on the basis of our council tax base number one return, which is October to October, but essentially September till September additions to the council tax base. So we've looked at what's come on to the council tax register in the last 9 months. We've done quite a lot of work on this. So last year we did get caught out slightly by the mix effect. So we had properties coming along that were actually on average less than Band D. So this year we've taken that into account. So we've got 9/12 of the answer for this year. We've projected forward for the full year. So obviously these things can vary, and I think from memory, the number of completions in the month can sort of vary from 35 properties to about 115, but on average it's around 70-ish a month. So the number of houses coming on for this year, which forms a basis of the new homes bonus grant for next year, is based on the council tax base. And we've also looked at the history of housing coming onto the council back tax base, to develop our projections going forward. So our projections are purely based on what's happening to the council tax base historically and what's happened in this year. So the paragraph on the assumptions on housing growth, really that's not a number we've used in the projections. That's a number to show that actually what are quite significant levels of housing growth, even within those lower numbers reflected in the new homes bonus calculation, are reasonable. So the planning projections are, I hesitate to say broader brush, but they're over a much extended period of time, and we know that and over a 30-year period, I think those projections are perfectly reasonable, but in the context of one year to another, we know that whether they stick a shovel in the SUE or not is debatable. So in planning terms, these things can vary between 2 or 3 years, whereas for the new homes bonus and the MTFS, we're looking at a much shorter time horizon. So really, that paragraph is only to show consistency. And if we were to convert those numbers to the numbers to new homes bonus equivalent numbers, they would be much lower because of the dead weight effect that the government applies, and the fact that there's likely to be a lower that they're likely to be lower than Band D in below Band D in terms of the average banding. I don't know if that is quite complicated. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think what we're looking at is in the estimated completion by the planners in 2020, 21, 21, 22 and 22, 23 amounts to 3,650 houses, even with a 0.4% weighting, whereas we are only estimating that, and I take your point, it's when they come on, not when they complete, when they are paid council, when they start paying council tax. But we have only got in there for the 2 years that we're projecting something like 1,400 houses, which seems, even with all the weighting and everything, that just seems either the planning, something doesn't strike as being quite right.
Well, I mean, again, they're on a different basis, so the numbers coming onto the new home bonus ignores the 0.4% dead weights. The actual number of houses, to achieve 600-700 houses in terms of new homes bonus, requires actually about 1,000 houses coming on stream in the year. So, in fact, it's a difficult one, but you're not comparing 600 or 700 to 1,000 to 1,100. You're comparing, in reality, 1,000 to an 1,100, 1,200 number, because because of the nature of on the basis of the calculation. I think maybe offline I can probably provide an explanation to members about why that works and what the difference is.
Yeah, I think that would be reassuring. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're, even after the £2.3 million worth of savings that we project, we're actually looking at trying to close a gap of £700,000, and this could be significant. We have a history of underspend. I think that's coming to a close. I think the MTFS takes account of all the risks, but clearly when we come to budget, we cannot just close our eyes and hope it's going to be all right. We've actually got to take some action to close that £700,000 gap a year. That's not something which is optional, because in 3 years' time we will be down to the minimum balances we're looking to. And of course, although we have £12.7 million worth of reserves, the actual working balances which are unallocated will be down to £3 million, and that's about the limit to where we want to go. So over the next 3 years, we have a substantial amount of work to do. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, that's absolutely fair comment. And in reference to the £300,000 that's included in here, it's not a very attractive or satisfactory solution. So when we look to prepare a refined version of the MTFS, or the final version for November, and working with colleagues, we'll be looking to maybe see if we can eliminate that and replace it with more specific savings. And there's a view that we'll try and do that through the budget process.
Thank you. That makes sense. I mean, we have historic underspends, and they have saved us in the past. I feel with the Fair Funding Review and everything else coming forward, when I think it's coming forward in 2021, and also the question of whether the new homes bonus is going to be paid, although we've had surpluses in the past, I think we're now coming to a stage where any allocation of funds is going to be towards adult social care, children's services. And so it's a real issue that we need to address, but we need to be sure that we are actually addressing a reality rather than something which is misleading us. And I'm not suggesting you're trying to mislead us, but I just want to be absolutely sure. All right.
Any other questions that anyone wishes to ask about any points of qualification? No, absolutely none. Okay, so can I ask, thank you very much, and can I ask Councillor Barclay to make a proposal?
Thank you. So this is our medium-term financial strategy, which goes on forever, and I will get there in a moment. You got it there. Right, so I'll make... my assistant here is doing a wonderful job. IT expert. Yeah. So, page 113, I make the recommendation that the draft medium-term financial strategy attached as an appendix be approved for the consultation generally and for the purpose of scrutiny by the Budget Scrutiny Panel, for the reason to identify the financial issues affecting the Council and the Borough in the medium term in order to inform the Council's budget-setting process. And I emphasise this is just going out for consultation.
Councillor Taylor, would you like to second?
Happy to second, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to everyone this evening. Thank you very much for all the officers, and also to Councillor Rattray for coming along presenting scrutiny. Good night.